And the young man said to him, "All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet?" Matthew 19 and verse 20. Why did that young man ask that question? The Lord had just told him what to do in answer to his question to begin with. He asked the question, he came to Jesus and he said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what did Jesus say to him? "Why do you call me good? There's none good but my Father which is in heaven. Don't call me good. God is good. He's the only one that's good. But if thou wilt inherit life, keep the commandments." So why did he ask that question? "All these things I've kept from my youth." Human nature. I don't want to do any more than I have to. So which ones? Which ones shall I keep? And what does Jesus say to him? "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What lack I yet?" He kept the commandments that Jesus gave to him. And if you stop and think about it, you go over to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelations, and these very things, almost word for word, Jesus says those who commit these things is going to go into eternal punishment. And Jesus tells him how to get to life. And we go back to the verses just before that in Revelations, and it tells what we're going to enjoy in heaven. So when he asks this question, Jesus says, "Oh, you don't have to do anything. It's the gift of God." Is that the way he answered him? No. That's what we get from Romans 6:23. But that's not what he wanted him to do. He wanted him to do something. He wanted him to accomplish something. Human nature. We want eternal life, but we don't want to be responsible, do we? We don't want to have to do anything ourselves. So when this young man sees these things, he feels there's something lacking, didn't he? That's the reason he asked, what lack I yet? Yes, I've kept these commandments, but there's something else for me. What is it that I need to do? What do I need to accomplish? But why? Why would he ask this question? I was talking to my daughter about this, and they had just studied this chapter in their class. And said, we passed it around among us, and they said, "Why didn't he leave good enough alone? Jesus told him what to do. He told him to keep the commandments, so why didn't he just leave that alone and go on with life?" Could he have asked that question? Not for himself, because as we get on through this, we find maybe that there's something else involved. Let's read on. The young man said to him, "All these things have I kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" According to the New King James in verse 20. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. Did this young man feel like he couldn't be perfect with just keeping these commandments? Was there something else he needed to do? Something else that was needed to be accomplished? when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The brother mentioned to us in our giving that we're all rich. We all have a lot. So was this man asking this question for himself? He didn't hear, did he? He went away sorrowful. He wasn't ready to give up his possessions. He wasn't ready to lay up treasures in heaven rather than treasures on this earth. So to me, he asked this question not for himself, but for me. Because I want eternal life. He wanted it, didn't he? But he wasn't willing to try to get there. He wasn't willing to try to do what he needed to do to accept that. I'm letting you think. I'm letting you think for just a little bit. What do you really want? What do you really want? Are you searching for something better than what we have here? We talked back in the class about the things that's going on with our lives. The things that is happening around us. Do we want something better than this? Jesus just told this young man how to obtain eternal life, didn't he? And yet he asked, what lack I yet? We go on down in this chapter, and we see that Jesus says it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's hard for us to give up those things which we have that we might attain eternal life. In John, the 6th chapter, when many of the disciples went away, quit following Jesus, Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, will you also go away? Are you going to leave me too? Are you going to go away and leave me too? And what did Peter say to him? To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In verse 68 of that 6th chapter of John. If we'll turn over to Luke, the 18th chapter, same story by a different writer. Luke chapter 18. Don't have time to read all this. Go home and study it. Go home and meditate upon it. In verse 22, of Luke, the 18th chapter. So when Jesus heard these things, what was it he had heard? The young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth. When Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack how many? Just one thing. You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Is that the one thing he was lacking, was selling his treasures? Is that really what he was lacking? Don't we have need of these things that we have here on this earth, these things that God has given us? In the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, he said, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You're going to have what you need if you'll seek the kingdom of heaven first. And that's what he's telling this rich young ruler. You give up these things, but then there's something else. And to me, that one thing that he lacked is the last three words of that chapter. Come, follow me. If you want to be perfect, you need to get that one thing in your head. You come follow me. I'm showing you, I'm teaching you, I'm living the way God sent me to live. And if you want to obtain that eternal life, then you come and follow me. But before we can follow him, we have to give up those things that's so important to us. Those things in life which gives us our pleasure here. We must put those behind us if we want eternal life. Come, follow me. If we take the one thing that he lacked was his desire to keep his riches and not let go, we may feel, I don't have that problem. I'm not rich. But didn't the brother just tell us that we are rich? He just told us we're rich. We have so much. God has blessed us so well. That kept him from following Jesus, but not me. I don't have that problem. But we all lack that one thing that keeps us from following Jesus. We all have that one thing that troubles us in life that we just can't turn loose of to come follow him. Maybe that one thing takes us off the straight and narrow path that Jesus talked about in 7:14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for broad is the gate, narrow is, and wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many that go in thereat. But narrow is the gate. You know how it goes. I'll let you finish it. I didn't have it written down, and I'm not going to turn there. I don't have time. Maybe itself that Jesus talked about in Luke the 14th chapter. And in the same chapter, he talks about family that keeps us away from following Jesus. We're just not willing to give up those things here on this earth, are we? We think we're important and we need something. And we need this and we need that. And we need to have our family close to us. He that is not willing to give up father and mother, brother and sister, son or daughter, more than me is not worthy of me, Jesus told the disciples. Maybe we don't want to be rejected. Maybe we want to stay calm with our peers, and we don't want to be rejected by them. As Jesus talked about in Matthew 5:10-11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. We're afraid of rejection, aren't we? We want other people to like us. Maybe that's the one thing that keeps us from following him. Maybe I don't just have time to pray. Maybe I'm in a hurry. I've got a busy life. I've got things to take care of. I've got family support. I've got family to feed. I've got a big house payment. I've got a big car payment. I've got a boat payment. I've got this and I've got that. And I don't have time to pray. So we get up in the morning and we say a hurried prayer. Lord, I know I need to talk to you, but I've got to get to work. So please accept my thanks for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Take time to pray. Take time to put him first in your life so that he can bless you. Maybe we don't have time to search the scriptures. Don't ask me to go home and search the scriptures about what Eldon talked about this morning. I don't have time for that. You give it to me. You let me understand and I'll accept it. No, you need to search the scriptures as those of Berea did. Not only read the Bible, but study it. Meditate upon it. In Psalms 1 and verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate once in a while, day and night. You put him first in your life so that he can bless you. Oh, and forget about getting a meeting on Wednesday night, Sunday night, on time Sunday morning. That's not important. I've got so many things in this life I need to do. Are you following Jesus? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Do we have time to follow him? Or is other things in this life more important? What lack I yet? What do I lack yet? Am I willing to give those things up so that I can get eternal life? Is that what I'm interested in? Yeah, and there's that big TV sets in front of us. Or that big stadium. What is it, about 6 months now till that big stadium will be so full and millions of people all over the world are watching that important game? most important one of the year, isn't it? It's down to the last 2 minutes. The game is tied. Don't even ask me to turn off the TV. Don't even ask me to leave the game. I want to see how it turns out. But what about the game of life? What about the game of life? What's Peter say? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're just barely going to make it. That's what scarcely means. We're just barely going to make it. Yes, it is the gift of God. I can't earn it. No way I can earn it. But He wants me to love Him like He loved us. He wants me to give in return just as much as He gave when He gave His life upon the cross. That's what He wants from us. Do we need the TV to tell us how to live a righteous life? Do we need the radio? Or do we need the Scriptures? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. What did Jesus say to the man? If you will be perfect, get rid of those things and come and follow me. Turn loose of that so that you might have eternal life. We don't need anything else but the Bible. We just need to study it more and look at it more often. If you can't do anything more, then take time to read one verse and then chew and meditate upon it all day long. Take time to pay attention to what God is trying to tell you. Turn our minds to those outside of Christ for a little bit. Have you obeyed the gospel? Jesus came and gave His life, shed His blood that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All the things that this world offers is going to pass away. It's not going to last. But eternity will go on forever and forever. You have two choices of where you desire to go. Do you really want eternal life? This young man seemingly didn't. He turned and went away because he had great possessions. But Revelation tells us there's two places. One where all tears will be taken away from our eyes. The streets are of gold. Symbolically speaking, words could not describe it, so John did the best that he could. John, who had suffered so much and yet had knew what it was like to lay on Jesus' bosom and be comforted. He cared. He cared about us as he went to the Isle of Patmos. And in Revelation, this tells us that if we will overcome, Jesus will give us a crown of life. But He is a just God. He promised that if we didn't overcome, that we would be cast in that lake of fire that it talks about also in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. We have two choices. What are we lacking? What is it that's so hard for us to turn to Jesus? You have not accepted Him. Why is it so hard? Does it bother you? Does it bother you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Why is that so hard? When that multitude asked Jesus there in the sixth chapter of the book of John, what must we do to do the works of God? What did Jesus tell them? It wasn't something hard. Believe on Him whom He has sent. God sent His Son to this earth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what He did. That's what God did for you. But will you believe that He is the Son of God? Is it so difficult for you to confess that He is? Jesus said that it's necessary to confess that Jesus is the Son of God in Matthew 10:32 and 33. Is it that you just don't want to repent? Is it hard to say, I'm sorry, just as it is for a child when they've made a mistake and the parent says, you go apologize to that child and tell them you're sorry. But you know, repentance is more than saying, I'm sorry. It's changing your way of life. That's what Jesus was asking that young man when He said, what lack I yet? He had told him the commandments, and he said, I've kept those. But He said, you change your way of life. You give up those things that's so important to you and come follow Me. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not a heavy thing. Why? Because if you're yoked with Jesus, He's helping you carry it. He's helping you carry those things in life that you need. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Could be that thing, one thing that's so difficult for you to do to become a Christian is to be baptized. Why is that necessary? Why should I be baptized? Because Jesus said you should. Jesus said, except you repent and be baptized, you shall all likewise perish. Mark 16 and 16. I'm going to turn over there. Mark 16. Starting with verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Is that simple words? Why is baptism necessary? Jesus told us that too. Remember, He came to John and He said, I baptize me. And what did John do? He tried to prevent Him from being baptized. That's what the New King James says. He tried to prevent Him. Why? Because John said, I have need to be baptized of you, and comest thou to me? But what did Jesus say? Do you remember what Jesus said? Suffer it now, so now to be. What? For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus had no sin, even to this point. He had no sin. And yet He said, if I don't accomplish this act that God is requiring, I will be sinning. So you permit me to be baptized so I can fulfill all righteousness. If Jesus needs to be baptized and needed to be baptized, I need to be baptized. I needed to be baptized. And if you're not in Christ, you need to be baptized too. Because that's what it comes. And baptism is immersion, because it is a part of an example of how Jesus laid off this life to get a new life. We'll rise to walk in newness of life, continue faithfully to death. And He says, I'll give you a crown of life. If you're in need of the invitation or you have some other needs to present to the congregation, will you not come as we stand and sing?